excited because I'm talking about miracles. For me, you're not a believer, you're just checking church out, you're not sure what you believe about God, but I think most of us would believe there's miracles. And I know we here believe that our God does miracles. And so we've been thinking about that. I hope you guys enjoyed last week. I did something different I'm not usually doing, is had you stand up. We had you pray with one another and pray for each other. And I hope you enjoyed that time and that time of prayer, because I'm looking for some stories. I'm looking down the road, maybe a month, maybe 6 months, maybe in a year, that some of you are going to come up to me and say, you know what, remember you did that prayer thing and you had us stand up and you had us pray for one another? That God did something that and you're going to have something story to tell because of what God did. Because we serve a God who does miracles. And so we've been looking at it. We've been talking about a God who does miracles in the midst of darkness. When things look bleak, when the devil, because we believe there's a devil and there's demons, and how does God interfere with that devil's work, and how God steps into the midst of our lives, in the midst of darkness of our lives. And then last week we talked about healing. And next week we're going to talk about how God provides. And Linda's going to share some stories with us about God's provision next week. And so we're going to have some good time with that. And I really appreciated Ron sharing last week as he shared some stories about his ministry and how God took care of his life. And this morning I want to talk about God's protection, the miracle of protection. How many of us can tell a story where God just stepped in and protected us? You know, I've never forgot this experience. I'm up in the mountains up here on Highway 50, kind of off in the boonies somewhere coming out. I think it was Loon Lake or somewhere up in there. Little two-lane road, and you know my driving skills and my the way I drive, and I'm trying to wind my way out of the mountains there, and I get behind a guy pulling a trailer. All right, up and down, really. He's doing the best he can, and I am going bananas. Anybody been in a situation like that? You know, it's like, I want to go, you know, and why don't you pull over and let me pass? Anybody ever say something like that, you know? And, you know, I just want to go, you know? And so I'm stuck behind this guy, but I'm smart enough. No, I'm not going to pass on a corner. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'll do some dumb things, but that's not one of them. And so, but we finally get down to Highway 50, and we get ready to turn onto Highway 50, and it's a dead stop. Dead stop. A few minutes before we pull on Highway 50, there was a head-on crash on Highway 50. Now, would I have been in the midst of that? Could that have been me? I don't know. But what I do know is God does protect that way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been in a situation that just a few minutes earlier or a few moments later, you know, an opportunity here or not an opportunity there, and it just changed the dynamics of everything? See, we believe that God does miracles, and I want to make sure I put it in your outline every week because I want to make sure I define it for you. It says this: a miracle is when God in heaven intervenes on earth. That God steps into our world in some way, in some form. He steps into our world, and he does something. And this morning, I'm going to talk about how God protects. And that scripture right here, it says this. Get your outline out. You might want to follow. I got some blanks to fill out. But it says this: the Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. God refuses the godly. He's a fortress in times of trouble. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? God, if you get me through this, I'll go to church on Sunday. You know? God, if you protect me, God, if you let me pass this test, God, if you pass this test, God, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Anybody ever pray prayers like that? God, if you fill that blank in and that, you know, because we know God does those things. We believe that in our heart that God does those things. But here's the challenge. What happens when he doesn't? What happens when he doesn't do those things? Now, he's done them in the past. You know, he does step in the middle of our life and he does do things. But there's times when we wonder where God is. When certain things happen, you know, we go see the doctor and we get that phone call. You know, and it's... We go to work and they're passing out these little pink slips. And you know, God, where are you in the midst of this? And we pray these kinds of things. You know, God, save me from this ticket, God. God, you know, you've partied all night and you're ready to drive home and you get in the car and you got, God, just help me get home safe. I know I drank too much. Now, nobody's prayed that, right? We wrestle with these things and what do we do when God isn't there? And how do we react? You know, I look at this, you know, because last week we talked about that. I see protection and healing kind of in the same kind of a basket. We know God can do it. We see God do it. We know God's character. We know God's ability. Nothing's impossible. All things are possible. We know God can do it. And then what do we do when he doesn't? How does that play out? Because God can. And so I wrote it this way in your outline. Long before you face a problem, God already had a plan. Long before that test, long before that job, God already had a plan. Long before the flood, God called a man named Noah. And he built a ship. And God gathered the animals. Long before the flood, he had a plan. Long before Jonah was thrown into the Mediterranean Sea, God had a plan and prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Long before Israel stood before the Red Sea, the Egyptian army behind them, the floodwaters of the Red Sea, God had a plan. And he split the sea. See, God has plans, and he does miraculous things. But what happens when he doesn't? What happens to our heart? What happens to our faith? What happens to us when we expect God? You know, I'm a believer now. I'm a Christian now. I follow God. I'm doing the best I can. No, I'm not perfect. And yes, I screw up. And yes, I sin. And yes, I have these battles. But God, you should know. I love you. And yet, things happen. How do we react? And what do we do? And how do we move on? There's a great story in the Bible. There's a great event in the life of Paul. Now, just to kind of paint you a picture, Paul was called by God on the Damascus Road, surrendered his life to God, and began teaching and preaching and planting churches all over the world. He was serving God, making a difference in the lives of individuals, in the lives of communities. This drastic difference in. And he went on these missionary journeys and he traveled all over the known world at the time. There's even belief that he might have even made it all the way to Britain. We have the references in the book of Romans where he made it to Rome and then he got free again. And there's a lot of stories there. But on one of these journeys, he's with his partner Silas. And they're traveling through town and they're telling about Jesus and God's love and how God transforms life. God wants to bless people and to lead people and to care for people. And in the midst of this preaching, there's this slave girl that keeps following them around and just saying harassing things to them. And she keeps echoing these words. And this slave girl was a wealth of fortune for these individuals. She could tell the future. She had a demon. And she would go around telling people their future, and her owners would make lots of money off of her prophecies, and they were living off of her wealth that she could bring to them. And so she's going around behind Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas finally get fed up with it. It's like Paul's, I had enough of that whining voice, okay? I've had enough of that pestering words behind me. And so Paul turns and he casts the demon out of that woman. Go over well, because when the demon left her, she could no longer tell the future. She can no longer make money for those who owned her and were using her and abusing her. And she can no longer make money. So the guys begin to incite the crowd against Paul and Silas, to get the crowd to turn on them. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture. Here's these guys serving God. Anybody feel like we're serving God? I'm doing the best I can, God. I'm part of you. I'm doing what I can. And that's Paul and Silas. They're working at it, and they're serving God. And now they didn't even did a thing for God. You know, that girl's in a much better position than she was. And then this is what happens. You got your outline. Again, follow along what it says here in Acts 16, 22 and 23. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. They've incited a riot now. They got all this crowd against them. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Have you ever looked at your life, and I want to make sure you get a picture. Here, Paul and Silas doing what God had asked them to do, going around the world planting churches, serving God. Now they are accused unfairly of robbing, taking the wealth away from these individuals. They're stripped. They're beaten. Have you ever felt that way in your life? You know, God, I'm doing the best I can. Why can't I cut a break? Why can't I get ahead? Why don't things go well for me? God, why is it always against me? Is this what happened to Paul? You know, they're doing and they're serving God and they're being good people and yet here, what's going on? And unfairly accused. You've been unfairly accused of anything? Anybody been? You know, you guys are so innocent. Yeah, man, you guys really participate well this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Unfairly, you know. Anybody remember being a kid? Your brother did something, you got accused of it. Anybody been in that one? Anybody got brothers that get accused of, you know? Fortunately, it's probably me in the first place, but you know, but think about it. And then they're stripped, you know. Anybody ever been stripped of hope? Anybody ever feel stripped of hope that you're in your rope? Anybody ever say, I'm at the end of my rope, I can't handle it anymore? Anybody ever do anything like that? They're kind of, here they are. They, you know, they're stripped and they're beaten and they're thrown away. Anybody ever been beaten by words? Anybody ever get discouraging words? You know, when I was a teenager, it was called being put down. Anybody ever been put down? You know, we used to cut each other. We have cut words. You know, anybody remember it? Come on, some of you guys have to know what I'm talking about. You know? And people say hurtful things and mean things and, you know, unfairly, you know, it's like, I don't deserve that. And we get these, and here's Paul, you know, it's like, God, what am I? I'm doing this, God. I'm serving you. I'm following you. I'm doing what you asked me to do. I planted these churches. I've taught these people about Jesus. I even cast this demon out. This girl's got a better chance now, God. And look at this. I'm stripped, beaten, whipped. And I'm even a Roman citizen. Now, you can't whip a Roman citizen. You know, they're not supposed to do that. Yeah. And here's Paul and all this going on. All this happening in his life as he's going through this. Now, he's taken to jail. Now, I want to make sure it says they flogged him, they beat him, and they take him to prison. Now, it's not like one of our prisons. Now, I want to make sure you know, I don't think our prisons are a summer camp, okay? I'm going to give you that. You know, I've had opportunities. I haven't been there. Well, I haven't been sent there. I've got to visit there, all right? I have got to visit Folsom Prison. I've got to visit the prison down in Chowchilla. You know, I've got to go out to the Honor Farm. Now, you know, I've been there. Now, I'm going to tell you, they are no campground, all right? It's no summer camp at prison. But it's nothing compared to what Paul's talking about here and what Paul's experiencing here, all right? Prison for Paul is in the bottom base, nothing there. It's dark, dingy, smelly, horrible place. You know, there's no light back there. It's no, go turn the electricity on. Let's look and see what's going on down there. It's dark, dingy, rotten, horrible place. Unfairly put there. Anybody like being unfairly put anywhere? And so they're sitting there. Now, what are they going to do? Now, I'm sure none of you ever said anything like this. Well, God, you weren't there, so I'm never going to go to church again. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. God, I've had it with you. You didn't do something I expected. You didn't do something I wanted. God, where were you? So I'm never going back to that church again. I'm going to drop out a small group. I'm not going to help anybody. God, I don't even want to believe you exist anymore. I know you do, but I'm not going to go there. Isn't that how we, I don't know about you, but that might be where I'd end up. I don't know. I feel so blessed right now. Not easy life, but I'm going to tell you, I've had a pretty good life. But here's this going on in Paul's life. So he goes down there. He's in the bottom of the basement in jail. Where's God? Yeah. He knows there's a God. He knows how powerful God is. He's seen God cast a demon out of that girl. You know, God, you can cast that demon out of that girl. Can't you get me out of this? God, I've read the story of how you split the Red Sea. Can't you just split this and let me out? Where are you, God, in the midst of my life? Where are you, God, when all this is going on in my life? And it's not fair, God. Paul didn't whine. Paul didn't say things like that. Here's what Paul said. I want you to look at this here, starting with Acts 26, 25 through 26. Look at what it says. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I've often wondered, now some of you will recognize this, I often wonder if he was with Johnny Cash, you know, the Folsom Prison Blues. Some of you guys have no idea who Johnny Cash is, okay? I'll give you that one. But I've often wondered, you know, hey, he's got Johnny Cash right there, you know? But they're in jail and they're praying and singing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be doing that. I'd probably be in the corner cowering and crying, begging God, okay? You know, my prayers wouldn't be prayers. It'd be, God, get me out of here, okay? Hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening. All right? I love, you know, they're singing and they're praying. I'm thinking these other guys are going to go, these dudes are whacked. You know, these dudes have to be crazy. We're here with them, and we know this ain't a fun place. This is not a good place. And so I had these guys have to think crazy things, singing and listening to them. Suddenly, why don't you circle that word? I want to come back to this word. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. There's an earthquake. Suddenly, out of nowhere, there's an earthquake. The door flies open. The chains fall off. They're free to leave. To run, to go. I had you circle sudden because you know what? God's a God of the sudden. You need to think about that. Was God there when they got arrested? Was God there when they were beaten? Was God there where they were in the jail? Could he did anything in all that time? But sudden. See, I want us to know that God's a God of suddenly. Not when we want it. Not in our timing. Not in our desires. Not in our way. But in his timing. In his way. Suddenly. Suddenly. God moved. See, I think that's really interesting to think about. He could have moved. We probably think he should have moved. At least I do think he should have moved. Why did you let all this happen to me, God, and now all of a sudden you do this? Anybody ever feel like that one? It's like, God, you did it, but why did you wait so long? Anybody ever feel something like that? Yeah. And he's going through this, and he goes, suddenly God did something. A few days ago, a few moments ago, it was horrible. It was no good. Suddenly, we're free. We could walk out. So here's what I wrote in your paper. Just kind of a side note. I get to chase a rabbit here for a minute, okay? I'm going to tell you right now. This is a preacher chasing a rabbit. Praise God when you see his power. And praise God when you don't. Yeah, praise God when you see his power. And praise God when you don't. You know, there's sometimes We see God and we get excited. I can think of times when I was at the youth conference and I see kids filling the aisle, literally thousands of kids, teenagers, filling the aisle of the auditorium, getting on their knees and praying and seeking God. And I'm at the back crying and praising God. I've been there. I've been at those times. But I've also been at times when it's not right. Where is God? God, it's not fair. God, it's hurting. I've been times where I've sat in front of my computer, clicked on some songs that I have on my computer downloaded, and set up computer and listen and praise God at my computer when things are wrong and when I'm hurting. Anybody besides me ever do stuff like that? You know? When God's not there, you know, well, I'm not going to go to church, and I'm not going to go to group, and I'm not going to listen to K-Love Radio anymore, and God, I'm not going to read your Bible, and God, I'm not. And see, what I've discovered is, when I don't want it, it's probably the time I need to do it most. Anybody identify with that one? That when I want to push back and push away, you know, leave me alone, God. I want to set up my pity pot. God, I'm mad at you because you didn't. You know, it's not fair. So we need to understand that there's going to be times when we see his power and we're just praise God and rejoice in what God is doing. But that same God who moved there sometimes hasn't moved. Until suddenly. Don't you like that word, suddenly? Isn't that a nice word? Suddenly, God moved. I want to challenge us to be that sudden. To listen for those times when God steps in. That when God moves. Yeah, there's going to be those hard times. There's going to be those difficulties and those trials and those struggles. And we're going to wonder where God is at and what God is up to. And now we have Paul and Silas sitting in jail. And I want to continue the story because it doesn't stop there. Because they're sitting in jail. The chains are falling. Now, just thought about the story, you know, my analytical, logical mind is, you got an earthquake, sure, the doors are going to fly open. That just makes sense. But the chains falling off, how'd the earthquake make the chains fall off? I think it's more than an earthquake for the chains, okay? You know, I think there might be an angel with his finger in there. Click, click, click. You know, he's got a key. Because you know? God could send, you know, I look at this. You know, it's like before they arrest me, God could send his angel. I got a 10-foot angel here. All right, come on, take Paul. Head's falling off. He's flying apart. You know, I'm kind of gross. But yeah, you know, God, let's go at it. You know? But he didn't show up with a 10-foot angel. He showed up with an earthquake, and the chains fell off. Fell off their hands and fell off their feet. And I don't know about you, but if I would have been in the jail, I would have been up and out of there. Anybody on that one? You know, I am gone, all right? I'm leaving town. I'm not, you know, I'm leaving town. And that's what the jailer thought happened. The jailer thought they had left. The jailer thought that when he woke up, the earthquake woke him up, the doors are flung open, and he's afraid that, oh, these guys are all gone. They're not going to hang around. So the jailer wakes up, and it says this, and the jailer woke up, and he went and saw the prison doors open. He drew a sword and was about to kill himself, because if he didn't kill himself, they would have killed him, okay? His choice. Either you kill yourself or we're going to kill you, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." I thought about that for a minute. Why would those other guys stay? Now, I can understand why Paul and Silas would stay, right? But why would those other prisoners stay? Could it have anything to do when it says when Paul and Silas were singing and praying, the prisoners were what? Listening to them. I can kind of see Paul sitting there, hey guys, hang loose. Be patient. It's not over yet. God's still moving. I can see. So the guys all stepped up. The jailer called for the lights. He rushed in and fell trembling. See, there was no light in there, dark, dingy place, before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out, and he asked, sir, what must I do to be saved? I think those are important words. See, it goes back to what we're talking about. Where God moves and how God moves and what God does in our lives, that long before we face a problem, that God already had a plan. See, this was God's plan. It's hard to think about. At times, God's plan, the things he allows, unfair things, unjust things, God can use for glory and for greatness. See, God had a plan well before Paul was ever arrested, him and Silas, well before they were beaten, well before they were thrown in jail. God had a plan. God had a plan. And we need to see this. We need to hear this. What must I do to be saved? I wrote it this way in your paper. Sometimes God's eternal purposes don't align with our temporary plans. Anybody? Sometimes our eternal purposes don't align with our temporary plans. He could have. He would have. But there was a bigger plan. Something more to happen. Something more to go on. God was working in all this. See, I surrendered to Christ at 17. I've shared my testimony. Before I was 17, there's that invisible line. I prayed a prayer along the lines, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come on, type. I prayed that prayer when I was 17, something along that line. And then at 19, I felt God call me into the ministry. I felt God call me to say, Gary, I want you to be a pastor. And things figured out. And it's kind of what God wanted me to do. And so, okay, God, I'm going to be a pastor. And so I go off to college, you know, and then I go off to seminary and spend 7 years going through school, getting all this degrees, going through all of this training to be a pastor. And I go and accept my first church. And so I get up to my first church, and you got these dreams. You've worked your whole life to get here. You've dreamed this your whole life. It's like, God, I'm finally where you called me to be. You've asked me to be a pastor, and now I have this church. And 3 months after you're there, you find out it's not quite what you expected. It's not quite what you thought. You got some individuals in the church. You know, this is hard. Can Christians be unchristian-like? You know, am I crazy? You know, and so we had some individuals in the church. I found out after I got there. Just so you know, I found out after I got there, the pastor before me had an affair with the Sunday school secretary, and I could tell you all sorts of stories. You know, I was a 23-year-old ignorant. I'm going to tell you, if you're 23, 24, you're ignorant. Oh, no, I'm not. I don't mean that. You know, age does help you learn some things. And so I'm there about 3 months, and then 6 months into it, I know this is not going to work. This isn't going to work. You know, I'm not going to be able to stay here. It's not going to be a fit. And here's your dream. Anybody have you got a dream? A dream that God gave you? You know, a dream that you feel you're equipped and you're prepared to do, and it's set there before you, and you step into it, and so a year into it, it's like, it's not going to work. So I end up going to the mountains, and I end up praying, and I end up crying, trying to figure out what God is doing, and where am I supposed to go, and how God's supposed to work, and God, what are you doing You know, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. You know, where are you, God? Why aren't you? I got all these dreams. I got all these visions, God. I want to follow you. And so 18 months after I've been at the church, I end up resigning. And so 5 months without a church, trying to figure out, God, where am I supposed to go? You called me. You sent me to school. You made it all possible because I'm not that smart. There's no way I did it on my own. I know that. Where are you, God? What's going on? 5 months later, I end up here. 35 years later, I'm here. But I look back on that time. I learned a lot in a year and a half. Anybody ever go to the school called Hard Knocks? Anybody ever been to the school called Hard Knocks? Some of you guys are blessed. If you haven't been to school of Hard Knocks, you've been blessed. You know? I think we need to see that. That, you know, sometimes our eternal, God's eternal purpose don't align with our temporary plans. That sometimes we have to go through. I look back over the things I experienced and the things I've learned during that difficult time of my life. And like I say, I was up at camp, I can't remember the name of the camp now, up in the mountains, and I sat there on the side of this hill for 3 days crying. What do you want me to do, God? What am I supposed to turn? I had resigned my church, but I felt called. What am I going to do? Fortunately, I wasn't in the prison in the darkness. I was on the side of a beautiful mountain praying, all right? And I was going into the camp singing at the campfire with everybody and praising God, but I was hurting. Anybody been there? You know, praising God even when you're hurting and just trying to claw your way through and get through. But what I learned there and what I experienced there brought me here. And I couldn't ask for a better place. People with love and care and compassion that helped a 27-year-old kid learn. And now you guys got to put up with me. But that's what God does. See, I want us to kind of step back and, you know, and God prepared. God knew where this would be. I could tell you after story where God has just moved in certain ways. How my daughter, as a baby, is initially tested in spinal meningitis. And it's like, you know, you got a baby, your first baby, just 6 months old, and they're doing a spinal tap on your baby, and you hear them crying in the door, and it's like, God, what's going on? What's happening? And so then you call all these people, and you start getting people praying. And so we're going to check it again before we do anything drastic. They check it again, and guess what? It's all gone. There's nothing there. Suddenly, there was nothing. Does anybody know a God of sudden? That just in the midst when wrestling and you're hurting and you're wounded and it's painful, whether it's words or situations, whatever it is, that suddenly God is there. So that's what I want to encourage us, that God has plans. So you need to sing and praise, whether you see it or you don't. You need to sing and praise God. You need to lift God's name up because it's His character and it's who He is. I want to encourage you to pray. All right? There's going to be heartaches and there's going to be heartaches. I tell you, I walk around this place every Sunday and I pray for your kids and my grandkids, literally. And I ask God to bless them. And let me tell you, you need to pray. How many times are you praying for protection? Right now, I got a son and daughter right now, son-in-law and a daughter driving down Highway 5. His father's dying in San Diego, and they've been driving all night. They spend the night. They're somewhere down on Highway 5 heading for San Diego. They're going to have like an 18-hour ride or 20-hour drive to San Diego to see his dad, who he just met a year ago for the first time in his life. I'm praying for my daughter's safety on Highway 5. Anybody pray for safety like that? Yeah, but pray safety over your children. Can you do that? Can you pray safety over your spouse? Don't want to wring their neck, okay? Yeah. Sometimes we do. All right? Can you pray protection over your spouse? Like I say, I walk around this church and I pray for my grandkids and I pray for your kids. And that's what I pray. You know what I pray? I'll tell you some things to pray for. I pray that God protects their mind and their heart. Because I, you know, one of my greatest fears is the battle that is, it's all over the place. Almost every article I read that accumulates different, I'm trying to think of what they're called, that they just pull out articles for you to read and they got 20 or 30 different articles. Almost every time there's pornography in there. I pray for God to guard their minds. Anybody? I pray for God to guard their hearts. You know, I got kids that are dating. Anybody got grandkids that are dating? It scares you? I had a great time. Here's a good thing. You see, we went up to Washington to see my grandkids and my kids, and we go out to eat for my birthday, or was it my, whatever it was, our anniversary, my wife and I's anniversary. So we're sitting at the restaurant. My granddaughter brought her boyfriend with her. And I look at him, and I go, I just want you to know one thing. I told my granddaughter what I was going to do. I want you to know one thing. I said, I have been in Folsom Prison. All right? I've been in Chowchilla Prison. I've been in the prisons. I've been in there. You know? I've been on the honor farm. I don't mind going back, I told him. You know? And they all laughed at me. But I pray for my grandkids. You know what? I pray for the spouses of my grandkids right now. Some of them are 7 years old, and I'm praying for their kids right now. You guys need to know that. I'm praying for those kind of, I pray for God to guard their hearts. I pray for God to guard their minds. I pray for God to protect them physically. There's predators out in our world. I pray for my wife. See, I want to encourage us. God is a God of suddenly, that we're singing and praising Him. Is part of your singing and praying protection? I'm going to ask you, don't raise your hand. Last time you paid protection on anybody. Just think about it. I don't know if it's your kids, a spouse, a friend, a neighbor. Think about that. So I want to challenge us this morning. God is up to something. The thing is, the bad news is, it's not on our time level. See, it says this, sometimes God's eternal purposes don't align with my temporary plan. But God is up to something. How many of us could sit here right now and say, you know what? If God would have let me do this, how about a job? Let's take this job for a situation. You know, I got a job, you know, I was the best fit for this job. I go back to this because there was a church I think I would have really been a good fit for. And I didn't get the church. And I've often thought about that. When I was in school, you know, it would have been really a good fit. And I had some great opportunities there. But how about you pray for a job, you get this perfect looking job, and you don't get the job, you interviewed well, you should have got the job, you think you should have got the job, and then 6 months later, everybody got a pink slip there. Can God protect you from something like that? You guys just sat there like, duh. I want to encourage you. We don't know what God is doing. And so we need to see these kinds of things in God's life. So I want to pray. You know, do you pray for an angel to protect somebody? So I want to encourage you. Life will have hurts. There'll be wounds. There'll be loss of hope. There'll be challenges and wavering to our faith. There'll be doubts. Am I off base? How do we walk those times? So what I want to tell you to do when life hits you the hardest, sing and praise God. Is that okay? When life takes a 4x4, and now I tell people all the time, you know, and here's another thing I pray, you know, that reminds me of the thing I pray. I pray my kids learn fast. Anybody know that one? Yeah, because my kids are going to make mistakes. My grandkids are going to make mistakes. They're not perfect. Mine are, yours aren't, okay? You know? They're not, so I pray they learn fast. And my prayer is, seriously, I pray for some of you, because I've seen some of your lives. I pray, God, let them learn with a 2x4 before you get them with a 4x4. I have prayed that for some of you, okay? You know, I pray that for me. God, I want to learn fast. Don't hit me with a 4x4. I told somebody the other day, God's hitting me with a 6x6. It's like, wake up! You know? It's time to wake. You know, are you praying for God to protect? So I want to challenge you. Life is going to have those times. Life's going to hurt. Unfair. Not even accused for something you did. It's not even your fault. It has nothing to do with you. And yet you're the one it's all falling in on. And you're going, God, where are you? This isn't fair. I didn't do it. It's not me. Why, God? Anybody? God, I'm just going to praise you. Knowing that, Slay, something's going to happen. You know, I believe God takes care of his own. I really do. I really do. That if you're his, he takes care of you. He did for Paul. Now see, let me show you. Paul just didn't say this in that prison, but here's another passage that I think is really good. It's found in Philippians. Just so you know, Paul writes this in Philippians. If anybody ever get discouraged, this is a book to go read, okay? If you're down and you're hurting right now, go home and read Philippians, okay? It's a really good book to read when you're hurting and wounded. But Paul, when he wrote the book, he's in prison. It wasn't a positive point in his life. It was, hey, I'm feeling real good. I'm going to write about God. Paul's saying, hey, I'm hurting and I'm in prison. I'm going to write about the joy of God. Yeah. And he wrote this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Good verse memorized. You know, sometimes I don't feel good. Sometimes I don't feel well. And I get depressed and frustrated. You know what I do to myself? I'll go, Gary, smile. I will tell myself to smile. And I will. And just so you know, I think there's some physical things. I read in an article one time that your body produces something when you smile. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then I like this, what Paul wrote to the Romans. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God takes bad and uses good. It's bad. Here's the one. Whenever I read that verse, I want to make sure you know. Bad things are always bad. Does that make sense? Bad things are always bad. It was bad for Paul to be in prison, wasn't it? That's not a comfortable place. That's not a good place. But the thing was, God used it to change people's life and to transform their hearts. He saved the jailer, didn't he? And he saved the jailer's family. So God causes good, and then I leave it with this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I just want to challenge you this morning. Now, I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I know some of you, and I, you know, some of you know I'm praying for you. You write things on your blue card, and I pray for you, and I lift your prayers up. But I do know God loves, and God cares. And yeah, it hurts. Don't deny it. It hurts. Life can hurt, and hurt deeply, and wound. But always remember, God is always there. Even in the darkest, dingiest, stinky places, in the bottom of a prison, God was there for Paul. Wherever you're at, wherever the hurt, wherever the wound, however deep it is, God is there. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who loves, who cares, and who's always there. Even when it doesn't seem so, even when we are hurting, you are there. You're a God who suddenly steps into the midst of our life. Does miracles. And I know there are some here who need right now the sudden touch of God. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're wounded. Maybe there's just some words been said. Maybe some situations. Maybe you've had some dreams crushed. Maybe you feel hopeless. But I want to pray for you. Would you shoot your hand up and say, just pray for me. just pray for me. I see those. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who are hurting and wounded right now. Lord, we know you haven't forgotten. We know that you have a plan and a purpose. And you cause all things to work together for good. Right now, there's wounds and there's hurts. And so I want to lift them up to you. So that in the midst of the hurts and wounds, Lord, we can praise a God who suddenly steps into the midst of life. You know exactly what needs to happen. You know exactly where the touch needs to take place. You know the words that need to be said. Lord, I ask that they may experience you renewed and refreshed by your presence. So I lift these all that raise their hand into you, that you may speak to hearts, that some way this week, maybe this week, if it's your timing, Lord, suddenly things will happen. Just as we sing for Paul, we look for your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.